You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
Belonged to our relative, Elimelech.
One of my favorite passages. There's so much to preach out of this.
One of my favorite things.
You shall know that the Lord is God.
The angel said to her,
but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian.
My two favorite stories in all of the Bible are the golden calf and the story of the spies.
And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
I'm going to introduce the person who's preaching for us today, and some of you know her, some of you don't know her, some of you only think you know her. So I'm really excited to get to do this. Many of you may not know more of Jerry's story. Jerry Williams is a retired Methodist pastor, and she became a Christian here at St. Luke many years ago. In this sanctuary, she spent a lot of time talking with God as she was discerning God's call in her life and becoming a Christian, and then her call to ministry. So this is home for her, even though she served all over the state for many, many years. And now she's retired, kind of. She's serving in many ways in our Midwest annual conference, and she has been a tremendous and very important and very good influence as our conference is taking shape, and I'm really grateful for her. She is now serving as the presiding elder for our Lexington district, and so I want you to help me welcome Reverend Jerry Williams.
I can't believe that I'm actually up here. As Nora is sharing, I became a Christian in 1987 here. And I used to spend a lot of time in the sanctuary. In fact, Sue Lord used to come in, or Lindsay Davison checked to make sure I was okay. And I felt this call to come and become a pastor, which I did really fight. I would stand in here and literally stand right here and go, what would it be like to actually say the word of God to people I love in front of me? And guess what? I'm doing it. I'm actually in front of you in this sanctuary. Many years of laughter and tears in this sanctuary, and here I am, being able to become a part of this time together with you. Well, let me, first of all, since I'm getting older, change my
introduce the person who's preaching for us today. And some of you know her, some of you don't know her, some of you only think you know her. So I'm really excited to get to do this. Many of you may not know more of Jerry's story. Jerry Williams is a retired Methodist pastor, and she became a Christian here at St. Luke many years ago. In this sanctuary, she spent a lot of time talking with God as she was discerning God's call in her life and becoming a Christian, and then her call to ministry. So this is home for her, even though she served all over the state for many, many years. And now she's retired, kind of. She's serving in many ways in our Midwest annual conference, and she has been a tremendous and very important and very good influence as our conference is taking shape, and I'm really grateful for her. She is now serving as the presiding elder for our Lexington district, and so I want you to help me welcome Reverend Jerry Williams.
I can't believe that I'm actually up here. As Nora is sharing, I became a Christian in 1987 here. And I used to spend a lot of time in the sanctuary. In fact, Sue Lord used to come in, or Lindsay Davison checked to make sure I was okay. And I felt this call to come and become a pastor, which I did really fight. I would stand in here and literally stand right here and go, what would it be like to actually say the word of God to people I love in front of me? And guess what? I'm doing it. I'm actually in front of you in this sanctuary. Many years of laughter and tears in this sanctuary, and here I am, being able to become a part of this time together with you. Well, let me, first of all, since I'm getting older, change my glasses so I can see. I'd like for us this morning to read the scripture that was inspired to me, and I pray that it would be inspiring to you. So if you would join with me in saying these this scripture from Isaiah 40, chapter verses 3 through 5. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight pathway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. Well, 2 weeks ago on Sunday, June 23rd, our Mid-South Conference, about 650 to 700 people, met in Maryville, Tennessee. I try. I'm from Michigan. Bear with me. The theme of the conference was, let the redeemed of the Lord tell the story. And of course, the story is His story. It's God's story. We call history, but it's His story. And it begins with His voice when He said, let there be light. And as He spoke, there began space and time and purpose and substance. And then with His voice, God spoke into creation a human, and He breathed life into the lungs of the one He created in His image. Why? So that He could become we. I say that again. God breathed into us because He wants to become we. Because God has this deep love for us. He wants a relationship with us. He wants to be the one that walks with us and talks with us. He wants to grant to us unique gifts of the mind with the capacity to think independently and to have the heart of God of love and a voice to communicate that love with God and with each other. God also speaks to every generation, not only at that moment in the time of Genesis, but through His prophets, through His word, through His Son, and even with the Holy Spirit. But I wonder, do we hear Him? I bet among us here, there are many God spoke to me stories to share. Maybe we should have an evening of sharing our stories. But since I'm the one that's up here, you get to hear my God spoke to me stories this morning. The first one that I recall, and there are a lot, but this one I recall is, as a pastor, we seek to witness our love for God and our love for one another. Well, it wasn't long before, as a young pastor, I learned, surprise, surprise, that not everyone in church likes their pastor. Seriously. I had one person who made it clear that they were here before I came and they would be here when I leave. This person wanted to do things her way, and where did I get off telling her that she couldn't do it? Well, I confess, I relished looking into her face and telling her that I was an ordained elder in the United Methodist Church and I had the authority, and you're not doing it. Well, it came to the point that I finally had to suggest to her that it would be hard for her to worship while she's glaring at me throughout the whole service. So perhaps another church, perhaps there was another church where she would be able to worship God. What started for me was as frustration just came to a point where I just wanted it to stop. And I prayed for her. And I asked God to be faithful to her and to me in our relationship together. And God was faithful to me. He softened my heart. And I began to realize that she was in pain. And sometimes He says to me, to all of us, that oftentimes when we are confronted with the difficulties of another person, that we need to look at them in another way, as though God looks at them. And we are called to love even when it hurts us. For oftentimes, hard people really are hurting people, and they don't know or are afraid to seek help. Instead, they lash out at people, and especially pastors. As I look back, I pray that it was a love for her that made me suggest she move, and not my selfish desire. You know, sometimes it's hard to be a Christian. I had another parishioner, a woman again, go figure, who not only glared at me, but she was vocal about her dislike for me. You know, it's quite interesting to preach while someone talks loudly in front of you saying, "I don't like the way she preaches." It really is hard. Sadly for her, her favorite pastor had moved away and she just wasn't happy. At first, she just complained, but it grew louder and more obvious, so that by the end of my 8 years of ministry, she had decided that the only way to get me out was with a petition. And so, after church one Sunday, she waited outside the church entrance and began to ask people to sign it. Well, shortly after this petition signing began, my mother died suddenly on Thanksgiving, the day before my birthday. And I had to travel to Michigan to identify her and gather all her important papers. So when I returned the next Sunday, it was apparent that the congregation, as I looked out, was shunning this woman. No one spoke to her, no one sat near her, nobody would even give a glance at her. And I could tell in her face that she was horrified. After the service, I was talking with with all the people leaving, and she was standing there watching me talk to all these people. And she was standing there, and I'm talking, and she's standing there, and I'm talking, and she waited and waited, and I hoped she would leave. I kept saying, "Would you leave? I'm tired, I'm worn out." But her heart, I was worn out by her hard heart and the week that I had just had. Well, when it got to the point there was no one else to talk to, and she was still there, I looked at her. And as I looked at her, my heart was strangely moved as I saw her as a woman in spiritual pain and began to see not the person she was, but the person she could be. So the Lord nudged me to go over to her. And the next thing I knew, I was hugging her. And then the Lord nudged me to kiss her on the forehead. And if that wasn't enough, these words came flowing out of my mouth. "Don't you know I have always loved you?" "Really, Lord?" I was stunned. And she just looked at me, and without a word, she left. But as I turned to go to my office, my heart was filled with an incredible love and peace. And I heard a voice of God say, "Now, Jerry, you know my heart. Now you know my heart." At the moment that lesson became clear to me, even though they may hate you and curse you, we love. We love what they can become, not what they are. And by our love, Christ can redeem, restore, and resurrect a new heart and a renewed spirit in that person to all who will commit to the love of Christ. Are you listening? Do you hear what God is saying? In the Old Testament is a compilation of God's voice as it testifies to his deep love for his children, as long as he longs to walk with them, even if they have a hearing problem. It is God who directs Isaiah to voice these words of hope to them, even though they are deep in sin and about to be punished. God still wants them to hear his love for them. And so he says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins." In these two verses, God reveals his desire to love even when we turn away from him. I believe, and God's word bears witness, that God longs to dwell in the hearts of all of his creation. And so even in his grief from Israel's sins and their deafness to his voice, he sends Isaiah to speak these words of hope. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, "Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys, level the mountains and the hills, straighten the curves, and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the Lord has spoken." Well, these words of God, spoken through the prophet Isaiah to the broken people of Israel, truly reflects the character of God in the midst of his rebellious children that he deeply wants to love, even when they reject him. How does that play out? Well, for example, they rejected him. When Israel leaves Egypt, they complain. They moan and groan and complain about being out in the desert. And when they meet God at Mount Sinai, they tell Moses to speak to them, not God, for they thought that they would die hearing him speak. They vowed to do everything the commandments required, and yet, within only 5 weeks later, they are dancing around a golden calf made by Moses' brother Aaron. This is the people of Israel. They pulled away, God punished. They turned back, and then they start to fall away again. It is no wonder that God eventually had to allow the 10 tribes of Israel to be decimated. And from 607 to 586 BC, God allowed Babylon to slowly destroy Jerusalem, demolishing the temple and taking captive of many Judah's young. Oh, how God's heart ached in mourning for his children, for they would not hear and they would not love. Yet, just as their punishment is about to happen by the Babylonians, God sent another prophet, Jeremiah, to the people of Judah and spoke these words. "The Lord has sent me time and time again, but you will not listen. The message is the same. Turn from the evil way you are traveling and from the evil things you are doing. Only then I will let you live in this land that the Lord gave to you and your ancestors forever. Do not provoke my anger by worshiping idols you made with your own hands. Then I will not harm you. But you would not listen to me. Now you bring upon yourselves all the disasters you now suffer. This entire land will become a desolate wasteland. Israel will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years of captivity." Oh, how he mourns to have those words said. And while Judah was lost in those 70 years, the heart of God mourned, for he dearly loved them and still wanted to encourage them. And so even in the midst of the brokenness and captivity, the Lord says to Jeremiah, "Tell the people of Judah these words. For the time is coming when I will bring them home to this land I gave their ancestors, and they will possess it again, for I, the Lord, have spoken." Words of hope, words of encouragement. But did they hear him? If only the people of Judah would have turned their ears and hearts to the voice of God and not their own selfish desires, they would have learned the true love of God, who wanted to share the joy of a relationship with him. When we read Comfort My People, Dr. Oswald of Asbury, Dr. John Oswald from Asbury's Old Testament professor writes, in Hebrew, the word comfort means to encourage. God's character is love. It's not hate. God wants to speak to their hearts. God wants to encourage Judah. He doesn't want to say, "Why can't you do anything right?" He wants to say, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. I'm pleased with you. I'm so glad for all the things you are doing right, and I want to encourage you to believe that there's more of this coming." Are you hearing this? Is what God is asking Judah. And perhaps he's asking us even today. Is this only for Judah? Or maybe God is even saying to us in the midst of our difficulties that he is so proud and really wants to encourage us as well. Well, at the end of 70 years, Judah returned to their land, but they never seemed to let go of their selfish, evil ways and they lived in their land, not in freedom, but under the rule of many kings and then an empire called Rome. God remained silent for 400 years, but his heart never changes for Judah. So before he goes into silence, he sends another prophet, Malachi. That's the last book in the Old Testament. And Malachi spoke these words, "Look, I am sending my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant who you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies." And so 400 years later, God breaks the silence when there comes a voice promised from long ago, a voice crying in the wilderness, and his name is John the Baptist, and he is called the prophet most high because he will prepare the way for the Lord Jesus to come. And Jesus came, and he came as the Son of God and the Son of Man, for he is the Lord of and the one that was promised from long ago. What Judah heard and Israel heard long ago, it was Jesus that was coming, that answer for that God is bringing to his children so that they may return. He is God's ultimate glory. He is a promise fulfilled from the voice of God in Isaiah. He will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. And he is the voice of God. And he cries to Israel for a final chance to repent and seek the kingdom of God. And so he came to say, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whoever shall believe shall not perish, but have eternal life." But did they hear him? No. Instead, they cried out in a loud voice, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But to tell the whole story to both Jew and Gentile, we need to remember that it was not God's plan for just Jesus to be the voice of God, because God has never given up on his children, all his children, both Jew and Gentile. He wants many voices to be a part of this witness as well. Voices that will bear the love of the Father by sharing with others his truth. Love so that the world over time can be transformed back into what they meant to be. Genuine human beings like Jesus that is guided and healed by the love of the Father for a truly peaceful world. Oh Lord, may that happen in this time. So this is where we all come into the plan of God. It starts with a ragtag group of fishermen with simple hearts hearing these simple words of Jesus, "Come, follow me." Can I hear a witness? Can you hear it yourself? It continues as Jesus, both God and man, comes to face with humanity, not in judgment, but with a love to transform hearts of fear into love. It becomes a reality when in Christ, heaven and earth are not connected by a temple built by humans, but by the vocal cords of a human man. It is the triumph of love spoken by God, who chose not to destroy us all, but to speak over the terrifying voices of hatred and evil throughout all of humanity by using a man, his son, to speak and then encourage the voices of us all as disciples to go out into the world and magnify the voice of God by our own voice to a broken world. You see, we now follow the prophets, and we become the voices in the wilderness, calling others in this dark, broken world to come follow Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Jesus, the name above all names. It's so important for us to hear that. Only through Christ, the name above all names. But can we hear him today? Is he still speaking to us, even in the midst of such chaos and evil, where our hands are wringing every time we listen to the news, or see whatever's going on in our community. Yes, God can still speak. He can speak through us. For there is no evil God cannot speak back into control. There is no hatred that God can't soften into love. Amen. There are no human words that have lasting power of God's truth. This is where the church is needed most, to be the instruments of God's voice, not in judgments and accusation, but voices that share the good news of Christ, the news for us to live out and share. The news for us to live out and share. That the anger residing in the hearts of so many in this world is not supposed to be a condition of our hearts. We were not supposed to house anger. That's why we don't know what we can do with it, and that's why it creates chaos. It is not of God. It is not the character of God. It is not what He created in. It is not what He sustains in. His essence is love, and He wants us to have that essence as well, so that He becomes we, and we can walk and talk again with each other. As I ponder the voice of God and His words of love, I want to rally those who still love as God gifted us and pray for those who are dead in themselves. I want to raise my voice and ask the church, why is it so quiet? And where are the voices in the wilderness? People are dying out there. And as I considered even myself, there is no one, not even one person, that is not worth loving. No, not one. Even one who looks you in the face and says they hate you, they are still worthy of being saved. After all, He saved your heart. He saved mine. And so He calls out, as He called to me, long ago in the sanctuary, looking out at empty pews and wondering what it would be like to be a voice of God in the midst of this room. He asked me then, and I ask you now, are you willing to be a voice of God? As I close this, I'd like to have us pray, and I want us to use the Lord's Prayer. And I want you, as we're praying, to allow yourselves to be the conduit of God's mercy and love. Because we're not going to be able to legislate peace. We're not going to be able to scream peace. We're not going to be able to punish for peace. We have to live in peace so that peace may be known through the work of our voice and our hands and the work of the Spirit among us. So let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.